This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. Been fun recapping all those games over the weekend. Epic weekend at Petco Park. And now we, you know, worry about the Rockies coming in. We'll get to all that coverage later in the show. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And after the show came, after the show ended on Friday, a bunch of news came down that was pretty... pretty sad. I mean, honestly, and I didn't get a chance to tune into Annie and Elston, but I did see a couple of clips going around, and some really big names passed away. And I think it started right after the show. I actually pulled you out of your car, Ben.
Yeah, we were like just left.
We just walked out the door. You're in your car about to leave, and I knocked on the window. I said, "You see the news about Sean Burroughs, former Padres third baseman Sean Burroughs, that passed away." And you saw the tributes pouring in over the weekend. Do you have many memories of covering Sean?
Absolutely, and Craig talked about him as well. Sean was coming up when he and I were hosting the pre and the post game show, and he was really terrific. Super nice guy. Was willing to, you know, talk and share with us a bunch.
Seemed
was
like
one
a
of our
great personalities.
Was one of our absolute favorites. He was just one of those guys that you wanted to root for and hoped he succeeded. You know, had the whole story of being the Little League World Series
twice.
Hero for Long Beach twice in a row as an 11 and a 12 year old, and then drafted 17 years old, and had a lot of weight of expectations that was on him as as a, you know, the future star, the next Tony Gwynn.
Calls you the next Tony Gwynn, that is a tough weight to carry,
and he had to bear that weight and responsibility. He actually was a good major league hitter. He started his career out well. He hit close to 300 his first season, and then, you know, at some point, you know, they started trying to make some swing changes to add power, and it just never really took well. He got into a funk, a spiral, you know, ended up, you know, out of baseball, and then he started having, obviously, the off-the-field troubles with addiction, substance abuse.
So I remembered very little about that, and I knew he'd run into some trouble. It's not really uncommon for a lot of ex-ball players to have that, but what I didn't realize, man, is that it got to the point that it did for Sean. Scavenging garbage cans for food, moving from seedy motel to motel, paranoid, hallucinating, etc., was able, through the help of his parents and some programs, to get his life back. And not only that, make it back to the big leagues, which is staggering.
An opportunity from Kevin Towers when he was then the GM of the Arizona Diamondbacks to give him another shot, and he made it back to the big leagues, which is incredible.
It's unreal. But the part that absolutely wrecked me, as you can imagine, is that he had pulled into the parking lot to coach his six-year-old, and he didn't show up to the field, and they were looking for him. Where's Coach Burroughs? Where's Coach Sean? Whatever. And he had had a heart attack in the parking lot on his way to coach his 6-year-old. My heart just broke in half, man. I was so bummed to read that news about Sean Burroughs. And I know he touched a lot of people in this community. Our friend Annie, who does the delicious baked goods for us. I mean, she said Sean Burroughs was like a brother to her. So it was a really, really tough day. Then I saw your tweet, and I guess I didn't realize how close to Barry Axelrod you were. Longtime agent Barry Axelrod passed away, another local, on Friday as well. So, really sad.
Yeah, I actually had heard about it on Thursday evening, but I wasn't sure if his family was ready to make it public, so I wasn't going to break the news. But
well,
yeah,
thank you for that.
He
for
was
sure.
Longtime. His office is right down the street from where I grew up. It was in Encinitas there on the corner of Rancho Santa Fe Road and Encinitas Boulevard. And as I was getting started in the broadcasting world, a couple of people that I knew Barry, and they said, "What? Just go talk to him." I mean, I knew he wasn't going to take me on as a client. I had no gigs or anything, but he had, you know, he was a well-known figure in the sports world, represented guys like Phil Nevin and Jake Peavy, and was just considered a wise, you know, agent with a lot of connections. And he absolutely said, "Yo, Ben, I'll take you out to lunch." Took me to the Italian place Firenze right there. And I remember sitting down with him and just getting some advice on, you know, a broadcasting career and how it might work out for me. And I never forgot that. And I always appreciated that. Saw me, you know, a few times over the years after that. Said hello. He was always super friendly, super nice, as well respected as really any agent in baseball. He wasn't the Scott Boras that was getting all the headlines. Yeah. People didn't write about Barry Axelrod a lot, but his clients, people in baseball, knew him and understood what he was about and respected him tremendously. So to me, that was a big loss as well to the world of baseball. Certainly not as high profile maybe as Sean Burroughs, but a big one nonetheless late last week.
And then Sam Rubin later on in the day. He passed away from a long time, what would you call him? He's an anchor.
LA entertainment anchor, guy who interviewed celebrities on, KTLA?
KTLA.
Just for years and years. I didn't have really any idea how respected he was in the world of Hollywood.
I mean,
in the LA entertainment industry.
Ryan Reynolds, Ben Stiller, kinds of huge, huge stars. I know Sandy Bannister, who worked in this market for a long time. She had a really heartfelt tribute about Sam. She worked with him. He said that he absolutely could have been the world's biggest diva if he wanted to. But when they had to travel, never asked for a car, never asked for a suite, was just a genuine down-to-earth good dude. And so that was another one that came down right after the show. And then this one I found out about yesterday. This one was a little bit dicier for you, I think.
The Atlanta Falcons, actually, his son Kyle Smith announced the passing of former San Diego Chargers general manager A.J. Smith at the age of 75. And I guess he had been battling prostate cancer the last 7 years. He undoubtedly goes down as, I think, the most successful general manager in Chargers history. 98 wins over a decade, put together Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates and presided over one of the golden eras of Chargers football. Obviously, he was an easy guy to dislike. He was gruff, surly, condescending at times, especially if you're a member of the media, just frustrating to deal with.
Was he mean to you?
Not mean. He was never mean, I would say. He wasn't trying to be mean, but he was obtuse. He was like AJ Preller, like the other AJ, was, you know, never wanted to give out a shred of information. He did have a twinkle in his eye, though, and a sense of humor, and you could tell he cared. He cared about the team. He cared about his family. Cared about the Chargers. Wanted to win. And you know, as general managers go, I knew he was a really sharp guy, so I always respected A.J. Smith. I didn't look forward to having to go to a press conference and interview him.
He wasn't a jerk to be a jerk.
But no, he wasn't a jerk to be a jerk. He was a jerk because he felt like it's kind of part of his job to really be buttoned up and not share, you know. It's the most serious thing in the world, football, so that, you know, he treated it that way, and that's fine. That was part of who he was, and I was a little surprised when I saw that. I was not expecting that news about the passing of A.J. Smith.
Well, you know how we do it on the Ben and Woods program. We'll do it we'll do a 4-for-1 today for all of the departed.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Their families.
There, shout out to their families.
His and his and his and his family. Sad weekend for sure.
How about the parallel, though? Whoa, I just cranked my volume. Holy crap, I'm deaf.
No one else can hear that. Just you.
Oh, my God. How about the crazy parallel? Sean Burroughs walking off with a single.
With a single.
Petco Park's opening night, which is pretty cool. And then Luis Arraez on the day that he passed, getting that knock and walking off the Dodgers. Pretty special thing. But just honestly, PSA to everyone out there,
Get your PSA checked.
Get you checked. Yeah, yeah, get checked. I scheduled my physical for June 3rd. I'm not looking forward to it. The older you get, the scarier they get, certainly. But that Sean Burroughs one just shook me to my core. I mean, it really did shake me to my core. So, yeah, man, take care of yourself. Your family loves you. Your family needs you. Just a real, real bummer. Gone way too soon in his case.
All right. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Padres win their fourth consecutive series over the loss. Now it's the Colorado Rockies' turn. They come to town. Surprise, surprise, after completing a sweep of the defending World Series champion Colorado Rockies or Texas Rangers. 3-1 was yesterday's final. Now the Rockies have been better at home than on the road. 9-12 at home, 3-16 on the road. Still a team you need to take advantage of. You can't have a Dodger hangover the next 3 days and all of a sudden lose 2 of 3 to the Colorado Rockies. Just can't do it. You got to get that win today. Got to keep the momentum going if there is such a thing in baseball and continue to build. Not give up because the gains have been very slowly achieved. Padres had that five-game losing streak?
Yep.
When they got swept by the Phillies and lost a couple of games around that. I think they went from like one game above 500 to 4 games below 500. Since then, they have slowly crawled their way back to one game above 500 at 22-21. They actually are holding the final wild card spot in the National League right now. They're the only one of 6 teams with a winning record in the National League at this moment. You can't give back gains that you fought for over 2.5 weeks by having a bad series now. You haven't swept anyone all season long.
Correct.
Not one series.
We had an interesting convo this morning before the show. We can do it here. I think it's interesting. And we can't. We can't go back, though, on our bedrock of the season, which is just win series. Win some series. Would sweeps be lovely? Yes, they'd be lovely. We would love them. If you continue to win series, you're going to be in a good place. Yes,
I think there's a caveat to that. Win series and don't get swept. Because if you win 3 series and then get swept once, you're just right back to where you started.
Correct.
That's a 3-1 record in series. You go, hey, we're winning 75% of our series. We're one of the best teams in baseball. No, you're not. You're 500. If you win 3 straight 3-game series and then get swept in a 3-game series, you are 6-6 over those 12 games. That does you no good, essentially. So because the Padres have been swept once and have not swept anything, even though they've won the majority of the series they've played this year, they're only a game above 500 right now.
It's been driving me insane, like watching every pitch and then every couple days seeing the record. You're just like, this team feels so much better than what their record shows, but they're a game above, a game below, or just 500. Like, they're just hovering right around there, which is, you know, fine for now, I guess, but I'm still waiting for them to go on a run, get 4 or 5 games above 500.
Yeah, I mean, and to do that, you're going to have to work in a sweep every now and then. You will. But again, I don't want to go back on winning. I don't want to start saying winning series is a bad thing.
No, it's not. And Mike Schilt makes the great point that when you get to the playoffs, winning series is the only thing that matters.
That's it.
You move on when you win a series.
100%. You don't have to sweep anybody.
You do not have to sweep anybody. However, it's a lot easier to get to the playoffs if you do mix in a sweep every once in a while. It gives you some margin for error. You're not going to win every series all season long. So when you do get a sweep, when you roll together 7 or 8 wins in a row once or twice, it just allows you to have the off day or the off week, you know, where you drop a couple of series.
Yeah.
It happens to everyone. The Dodgers have dropped series. Guess what? They also have, I think, 3 or 4 sweeps already. So,
that will help you still
get to a point where if you go 2-4 in a week, it doesn't murder you.
It doesn't absolutely kill you. Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't give back everything you've been doing for the last few weeks losing a series or two. So,
no doubt, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back on saying the goal is to win series, but it's a slow grind this way, the way the Padres are building back up to get back above 500. It's not the easiest way to go.
Hey, man, I'll take it, though. I'll take winning series every day of the week. I'd love. Now, listen, the Rockies come in. What I don't want to happen is if we win 2 or 3 to be like, we blew it. I mean, there's going to be some of that. They're not a good baseball team. They are playing better baseball, and I do realize they have not played well on the road. We also haven't played that well at home.
We'll see what happens.
Good, I mean,
They win the first two and then drop the third one with a 9-4 lead like they did in Colorado.
Correct.
Then I'm going to be upset. Correct. I don't care if they won the series.
I'll give you a stat for tonight's game when we come back about the matchup. Just a little early preview that I've been saving. But I'll give you that. We got Sam Levitt, in-season Sam. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I see we got some callers on the line. Might be able to get to a few of those as well. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You heard the old saying about the immovable object versus the unstoppable force. It's kind of my nugget for tonight's game, Padres-Rockies. Heard the stat a couple of times now on the airwaves that when Matt Waldron or Randy Vasquez starts, Padres are 1-10 this season. Randy Vasquez will be going tonight for the Padres. That's your immovable object. Your indestructible force is that the Colorado Rockies are 1-6 when Dakota Hudson starts. Now, he has not pitched poorly. Just as Matt Waldron and Randy Vasquez has not always pitched poorly, he's had a couple of decent outings. The Rockies just haven't given him run support in some of those. He has pitched poorly in others. In fact, the worst outing he has had is only a game the Rockies have won when he started. Gave up 6 runs in 3 1/3 innings on April 25th against...
Two?
The San Diego Padres, a game in which they built a 9-4 lead and lost 10-9. That's the only game the Rockies have won this season when Dakota Hudson has taken the mound.
Yeah, he was terrible that game.
He was awful. And he will pitch again tonight as the Rockies try to get their second win with him on the mound. The Padres will try to get a second win with either Matt Waldron or Randy Vasquez on the mound tonight. Something has got to give because one of those two teams will win tonight's game at Petco Park.
I mean,
there's your nugget.
And hopefully Randy Vasquez builds on what he was able to do last time because he looked really, really good. And that would be really, really nice for our beloved San Diego Padres if he could get that kind of figured out, Benny. Fresh bullpen, didn't use many guys yesterday at all. So, you know, Colek's ready, Yuki's ready, Adrian is ready, De Los Santos is ready, Johnny Brito threw 40 on Saturday, probably maybe down another day. But, yeah, for the most part, and I think, you know, Suarez threw 22.
Strada's ready.
Yeah, Strada's ready. You could use any of those cats today. So, yeah, and you may need to, and hopefully you don't. Hopefully you go out and tee off on Dakota Hudson. But remember, No lead is safe against Dakota Hudson and the Colorado Rockies. But we are not playing in weird-ass Coors Field. We are playing right here in weird-ass Petco Park.
I hope it makes a difference.
So do I.
Yeah. Let's continue this homestand on a good note. 833-288-0973. Get a phone call or two in before Sammy joins us at the bottom of the hour. We got Ryan calling in here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Ryan. Ryan, are you there? I hear him kind of in the background.
He's like fumbling around. Ryan.
Caller, are you on hold?
There you are.
Hi.
You're laughing
welcome.
Now. Well, he can hear you on the air. You're on the radio in San Diego. Maybe he's not Ryan. Maybe you're someone else.
Hello?
Oh, that's me, Christy.
Christy!
Oh, hi.
Yes.
It's close.
Well, that's our fault then. It's our caller ID's fault.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Hi. How are you?
Good.
So I just wanted to say the commentary for Eddie Ortega.
Amazing.
When he commented on at ice, he actually said, I never heard him say it before. He said, at ice salto, which means assault by at ice.
Ooh.
So he had a little play with words.
That was a call
he
that.
Said, arasalto, which means an assault by our lights. I thought that was like awesome.
That's amazing.
And I put the highlight to you guys that that's what he said.
Nice.
So
give us that call one more time. The Spanish language call of Friday night's walk off win with Eduardo Ortega on the call.
Primer bate. Arraez, línea de hit. A ver, jugada home. Viene el tiro. Safe home de cabeza, Tyler Way, se acabó el juego, ganaron los padres, dejó lo mejor para el final, arrasando a Raez.
Eddie. So good.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. What a great call that was. The rest of the NL West continues to kind of churn in place.
Yes.
Diamondbacks did avoid a sweep by the Orioles with Zach Gallen pitching them to a 9-2 win yesterday. Giants did take 2 of 3 from the Reds on a walk-off double by San Diego State's Casey Schmidt yesterday. 6-5. We mentioned the Rockies' surprise sweep of the Rangers. But so far, the Padres have been able to keep all those other wild card contenders just slightly behind them in the race. For the most part, the Nationals are still the closest team to the Padres. They lost to the Red Sox 3-2 yesterday. They're a game under 500. The Mets are, I think, a game under. They had a walk-off win last night on Sunday Night Baseball over the Braves.
Yeah,
on
Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah, two-run shot. I guess he got hurt on Saturday, came back late in the game, and won it for them on Sunday. So there's still a bunch of teams. I mean, other than like the Marlins and the Rockies, and even the Marlins beat the Phillies yesterday, so they're not without their positive qualities. Pretty much everybody is chasing the Padres right now. Cubs and the Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers and the Brewers are the kind of the leaders right now, and then the Padres are that sixth team and
grinding for
just
it.
Just everybody is right behind them though at this point.
It's grindy so far. It is, and you know the what you need is somebody to, what you need is to go on a little run. You need to sweep these, you know, it'd be great to sweep these games this week and you get a few games above 500 and, you know, knowing the schedule is going to get pretty difficult here pretty soon.
I hope, I really do hope that Xander Bogaerts takes some confidence out of the last couple of at bats yesterday and can get going. We mentioned earlier, he's not the only good hitter that has struggled earlier in the season.
Manny's dying right now.
I mean, but even elsewhere, like Julio Rodriguez finally hit his second home run for the Mariners yesterday.
Well, how about Paul Goldschmidt, by the way?
Paul Goldschmidt's been awful
he
for the Cardinals.
He was in a 0-for-30. Now, Xander was at an 0-for, before he hit that bomb, he was at an 0-for-18, right? So think four more games really beyond that, and that's where Paul Goldschmidt was. Paul Goldschmidt's one of the best hitters I've seen in the last 20 years. He's incredible. He is throwing out 0-for-30s this season. I do not know what's going on over the weekend. Hitting remains very difficult, but Manny needs to get it going. Manny yesterday, like, his defense was obviously spectacular. It always is. It's great. The stick, him trying to bunt and stuff with Muncy back, it just speaks to he's not feeling very confident in his swing right now, and it just doesn't.
Now, Profar did it, and he's as hot as anyone's
well,
been.
Well, Profar's been a little cold as well this series.
Not quite as, yeah.
But
the Dodgers have good pitchers.
Sure, yeah.
No
but
doubt about
it. You're trying
that.
To get something going, and I totally get that and respect it. I don't want to see Manny Machado bunt ever, even if it's for a hit. He needs to swing. He needs to swing the bat.
He had at least one or two like bad luck line drives. Went to the second baseman, made a nice play. I mean, I think the swing's still in there for Manny. It's just You know, he's kind of now where Xander was for a while, just not seeing any results from some good swings.
When he DHs and takes an offer, it is just, it stings badly. When he's in the field and takes an offer, it's a little bit better because you know you're going to get grade A defense every time from him.
Our Sam Levitt was on scene all weekend long
beast
in
the
Western
belly?
Metal. Yeah, in the Beast of the Belly the entire weekend. No Beast at Petco Park. A lot of people said, there were more Dodgers fans. No, there were more Padres fans at those games. There were a lot of Dodgers fans.
100%. But, there always is.
There was more Padres fans at those games. A lot of them went up to see Sammy in the loft. We'll talk with Sam Levitt, our Padres pre- and post-game show host, coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog. The effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Before we get to Sammy, quick point. So I mentioned on Friday night I was sitting in the third row. Even in the third row, when someone in the first or second row stood up, you could not see past them. Is it okay to stand up when watching a baseball game, especially down low, when you then force everyone behind you to have to stand up as
Depends
well?
Depends on the situation.
Like two strikes, everybody stands up?
Yeah.
I mean,
if it's the third inning and it's...
I always feel real guilty because I'm so tall. And I don't want to block anyone's view. So I tend to just stay seated the entire time, no matter what the situation. Unless it's the last out of the game and everyone's up, then I'll get up.
Yeah.
But I usually stay down.
If the people
down.
In front of me are up, I'm getting up.
But
I'm
we like, had a lot
it's
of,
not my fault. It's theirs.
We had a lot of people yelling. There were a couple of Dodger fans. One with Kurt. Hey, Kurt, hey, 22. Down in front. He was like the only one
22.
Standing.
22. Clayton Kershaw was in the crowd.
Well, someone wearing a jersey with Clayton Kershaw. So they'd yell at him by jersey name.
Hmm.
It wasn't all just Dodger fans. Sometimes Padre fans would get up as well. But I noticed down low at Petco Park, anytime someone in the front gets up, everyone has to get up.
Yes.
Because it's not very steep down there.
Correct.
It's pretty
flat.
down at field level. So you can't see anything. I couldn't even see past Tim Leeper, the third base coach.
Yeah.
He constantly blocked my view of home plate. And the umpire would sometimes block my view of Manny Machado. Yeah, it was low. It was good. It was close. It was easy to get blocked out. So I try to stay seated the entire time.
That doesn't surprise me, you know? You don't need... It's the thing about baseball. It's not a playoff game, right? It's a big game, but it's not a playoff game. You don't need to be on your feet the entire opinion. I'm not going to. Could ask.
No.
I'm not trying to stand and watch a baseball game. Now, if it's World Series...
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Different. I went to a World Series game. Did not sit down the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Did not sit at all. Not even like in between innings. You just stood there and kind of took it all in. But that's different. That was a different beast entirely. I think it's okay to sit. And I think it's okay to tell people to grab a seat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was all right.
Yeah.
I didn't try to do anything. I just let it go. All right. Sammy's standing by. We'll get to Sam Levitt right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And Padres set a three-game series attendance record, nearly 134,000 fans at Petco Park Friday to Sunday. And at least 110,000 of them stopped by to say hello to Sam Levitt in the Western Metal Supply Company building in the loft. Sammy, good morning. Good to talk to you as always.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a fun weekend at Petco Park. Obviously a good weekend for the Padres. Anytime you can take two out of three from the LA Dodgers. And yes, I had a lot of people come say hello as always. The funny thing now with our fancy new video YouTube stream of my pre and post game show is that you can actually see in real time people coming up to me, and sometimes they may hop behind me, and you might even see them on the video or whatever happens. So, but I'll tell you what, the funny thing, because there's a lot of, remember, I'm on the radio for the most part while I'm there talking, and I actually have a little on-air sign that lights up, which is kind of nice, and I think just tells people, hey, I'm actually on the radio right now. But I do have a lot of people that will kind of wave or yell my name as they're just walking by. And I always try to acknowledge. So you'll see me talking and then just you know, kind of look over, wave, smile. Somebody will take a selfie. I'm talking and smiling at the same time. So, yeah, it's that's been an interesting new wrinkle to everything, but a lot of fun to see everybody.
Since we're doing PSAs today, if Sammy's on the air, don't ever sidle up behind him. No one wants somebody sidling up behind you.
I mean, remote on-air sign is brilliant.
Yes.
We have an old-timey big on-air light outside our studio. So when any of our microphones are on, it turns on. It tells people, don't walk into the studio. The problem is oftentimes, like when we're interviewing like Sammy and he's talking, we'll all turn our microphones off so you can't hear us breathing.
Yes.
That turns the light off. And then all of a sudden, sales guy or someone walks
in the
middle of our interview going, we're in a segment right now. Just because the light's not on doesn't mean you can just walk into our studio.
Yeah, and let me also be clear, the on-air sign being lit up, and it's pretty small, it does not deter anyone from...
Please, you guys,
it encourages some, I think, actually.
Which, by the way, I want to be clear. If you're in the Western Metal Building, you want to come say hi, please come say hello. Just understand that there are times where I physically cannot talk to you, or I might have my headset on trying to listen to whatever we're playing so I know when we're coming back. So you guys know it's very much a one-man operation, one-man show up there. So please come say hello. If I look like I'm busy or like I'm about to start talking or whatever, please, I just beg people, don't be offended because there are times where it's tough.
Joined by our pal Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods this morning. Love wrapping up or recapping, I guess, you know, when you take two out of three from the Dodgers, always feels good. I mean, they're a good team. They got good players.
Yeah.
You know, the big, high, massive payroll and Shohei being out yesterday certainly helps. But it's not like we didn't run a different lineup, different looking lineup out there on Saturday too. You know, that lineup too, I saw a lot of consternation about it. I understand Mike Schilt stacking it with righties, though I did see lefties have actually hit James Paxton a little bit better. I think one thing we need to understand is guys like Jake Cronenworth, they're going to need a day off from time to time. He's played a ton of games this year, been out on the field a lot. You are going to have to get some of those guys off their feet from time to time, Sammy. And I thought that was a good day to do it. You know, the right-handed hitters, they need to hit James Paxton better.
Right.
James Paxton's gotten really, really lucky this season. But, you know, I thought he pitched a great game and we just couldn't get anything going off him.
Yeah, I think you make a good point because I saw some of the discussion about the lineup on Saturday as well. And I think, number one, there's a reality that guys take days off. And number two, I think in the cases of two of the guys that sat on Saturday in Camposano and Merrill, look, they've got two catchers on the roster, and Luis is not going to catch every game, and especially day game after a night game or night game before a day game, whatever it is. It's a tough situation in that sense in the catching spot because Luis is so important to the offense and he's been really good once again this year. And obviously he had just an enormous impact on the game Friday night. Quite frankly, I thought that was one of the coolest aspects of Friday night.
No doubt.
During what Luis Arraez said to me, he called him the MVP of the game, Campy. In our post-game interview, and then Michael King said he thought the Campy should be doing the interview out there because he felt like it was the Campy game. So just a side note there on Camposano with how much he impacted Friday night. And then obviously in the case of Merrill, I think the Padres have to be, I don't know if cautious is the right word, but they do need to make sure they're giving him some rest here and there just because, you know, he's playing every day in the minor leagues. Remember, every 7 days you get an off day. You get an off day between every series. So, you know, this is something that for a 20 to 21-year-old making his first, you know, round in the major leagues, and obviously he's done some great things, I totally understand giving him a day when it makes sense, when he's going to face a tough lefty. And quite frankly, I mean, they looked like geniuses yesterday, right, with Merrill having three hits and you know, getting right back to it. So I think there's a little, you know, reality to that with Camposano and Merrill in particular, and I don't blame the Padres for looking for opportunities to get those guys off their feet, although obviously Merrill and Camposano are important to this lineup and for the most part give you a really quality at bat. So a bit of a trade-off, no doubt.
They do, and something that Tony Gwynn Jr. said on the roundtable, Ben, in reaction to a question you asked him last week, you know, you do see a lot of people tweeting out, oh, it's a punt lineup. Look, your ideal lineup for the San Diego Padres does not have Sugar,
Higashi.
Sugar, Higgy, and who am I missing? Tyler Wade, maybe? Something like that. It's not your ideal lineup, right? And it seems like those are the days that maybe need to be moved around where Manny could actually play third. And if Campy is swinging a hot bat, because they did put in Campy to pinch hit down 5-0. That actually drove me nuts. I thought, you're going to give him the day off. Just give him the day off. Don't make him gear up to go out and catch the ninth. He can't hit a 5-run homer here. Like, that one actually didn't make the most sense to me. But, you know, look, guys are going to get days off from time to time.
Yeah.
It's weird sometimes, though, that it seems like, oh, this is when we have all of our bench guys in at once, which is a little bit odd.
Well, and I thought it was interesting yesterday, because the moment Azokar came in for defense, and it was still only a 4-0 game at that time, I immediately thought of you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, here comes Azokar. Mike Schilt's not listening to the morning
guys. He doesn't care.
Close game here. Profar could come up again. But look.
By the way, should he. He should not listen to us. Do not listen to anything we say, Mike.
Tyler also mentioned, just quickly, Donovan Solano.
Yeah.
I don't consider him necessarily the B squad lineup.
No, so I don't either. Solano's good.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Solano so far, Sammy, I don't know a ton about him other than he's pretty much been as advertised. He puts together good at-bats, hits the ball on a line. I've liked what I've seen from Donovan Solano so far.
Yeah, he's been very good. I mean, I think he's given them so far in a small sample size exactly what you would have expected, right? Somebody whose numbers have shown that he can put together quality at-bats, and he certainly had a couple of big hits in Chicago during one of these games. And I think the thing that stands out about this lineup and roster as a whole, you know, there are a couple of different variations of the lineup you can have depending on whether Manny's playing third, whether a guy's getting a day off and so forth. But when you look at this lineup, when it's at its full strength, from Arise to Tatis to Cronenworth to Manny to Profar to Bogarts, if yesterday was a sign of him starting to get going, you certainly hope so. Merrill, Campusano, what he's doing, then Kim, then Solano when he plays. All of a sudden, when you pair that with the quality of pitching that they showed this turn through the rotation, I can't lie, you start to dream a little bit, right, about what this team could be and the idea that they could really start to get rolling here. And look, despite not everything being perfect for them over the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks, they enter this series still winning 8 of their last 11 games. The pitching's been great. They're finding different ways to win. And for all those reasons, and when you consider the depth of their lineup with Solano, some of the bench options they have now with Solano, you start to dream a little bit about this team really, really getting on a run.
I think if you want to grab something from this weekend to hold on to, I mentioned Xander Bogaerts earlier, hopefully finding something yesterday, but I mean, Dylan Cease has already pitched like an ace. Yu Darvish has done it for a long time. And yeah, he's locked in right now, but I don't worry too much about Yu Darvish. If Michael King can hold on to whatever he found on Friday, that really lengthens the Padres starting rotation. Then you got Cease and Darvish, you know, hopefully Musgrove's back. And if King can be as nasty as he was, Sammy, I mean, the stat that everyone talking about, the four starts with two hits or less for the first time since 1893, there is the potential there, as you said, for not just an above average starting rotation, but for something that could be really special, you know, down the stretch.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think at this point, you know what you're getting from Cease. Darvish has been awesome, and that is a huge, huge development for this team. And then you mentioned it with Michael King. I mean, he was so, so good on Friday night, especially against that lineup. And when he did get into some trouble, he was able to wiggle his way out of it. I actually had a really good in-depth conversation with him about his start and more yesterday for the pregame show, and it's up on my podcast feed, and we'll tweet out some clips of it today because I thought he was great during it, talking about the outing. But I'm totally with you, Ben. I think, you know, for as good as this offense could be, if, you know, with the addition of Arise, if Manny can get it going, if Xander can get it going, there's no doubt that if guys are going to start to pitch like they pitched through this turn, and Cease has been there, but more specifically Darvish and King, and look, I thought Waldron was fine on Saturday. I thought that was exactly what you could have hoped for to keep you in a game. And obviously there was one bad pitch by De Los Santos on a 1-2 pitch to Hernandez. If, you know, if he gets Hernandez there, it might end up being a different game and a different result. Who knows? And then, you know, when Joe comes back, if you can add him into that mix and he starts to get it rolling, and you certainly know he's capable of it, and you hope he has some sort of similar result to what Darvish has done here since coming off the IL. That, to me, is as big of a...
This hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog. The effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Quick, before we get to Sammy, quick point. So I mentioned on Friday night I was sitting in the third row. Even in the third row, when someone in the first or second row stood up, you could not see past them. Is it okay to stand up when watching a baseball game, especially down low, when you then force everyone behind you to have to stand up as well?
Depends on the situation.
Like two strikes, everybody stands up?
Yeah.
I mean,
if it's the third inning and it's...
I always feel real guilty because I'm so tall and I don't want to block anyone's view. So I tend to just stay seated the entire time, no matter what the situation, unless it's the last out of the game and everyone's up. Then I'll get up.
Yeah.
But I usually stay down.
If the people in front of me are up, I'm getting up.
But
I'm
we had like, a lot
it's
of,
not my fault, it's theirs.
We had a lot of people yelling. There were a couple Dodger fans. One with Kurt, 22, down in front. He was like the only one
22,
standing.
22, Clayton Kershaw was in the crowd.
Well, someone wearing a jersey with Clayton Kershaw, so they'd yell at him by jersey name. It wasn't all just Dodger fans. Sometimes Padre fans would get up as well. But I noticed down low at Petco Park, anytime someone in the front gets up, everyone has to get up.
Yes.
Because it's not very steep down there.
Correct.
It's pretty flat. down at field level. So you can't see anything. I couldn't even see past Tim Leeper, the third base coach.
Yeah.
He constantly blocked my view of home plate. And the umpire would sometimes block my view of Manny Machado. Yeah, it was low. It was good. It was close. It was easy to get blocked out. So I try to stay seated the entire time.
That doesn't surprise me. You know? You don't need... It's the thing about baseball. It's not a playoff game, right? It's a big game. But it's not a playoff game. You don't need to be on your feet the entire opinion. I'm not going to. Could ask.
No.
I'm not trying to stand and watch a baseball game. Now, if it's a World Series...
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Different. I went to a World Series game. Did not sit down the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Did not sit at all. Not even like in between innings. You just stood there and kind of took it all in. But that's different. That was a different beast entirely. But yeah, no, I think it's okay to sit, and I think it's okay to tell people to grab a seat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was all right.
Yeah.
I didn't try to do anything. I just let it go. All right, Sammy's standing by. We'll get to Sam Levitt right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And Padres set a three-game series attendance record, nearly 134,000 fans at Petco Park Friday to Sunday. And at least 110,000 of them stopped by to say hello to Sam Levitt in the Western Metal Supply Company building in the loft. Sammy, good morning. Good to talk to you as always.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a fun weekend at Petco Park. Obviously a good weekend for the Padres. Anytime you can take two out of three from the LA Dodgers. And yes, I had a lot of people come say hello as always. The funny thing now with our fancy new video YouTube stream of my pre and post game show is that you can actually see in real time people coming up to me, and sometimes they may hop behind me, and you might even see them on the video or whatever happens. So, but I'll tell you what, the funny thing, because there's a lot of, remember, I'm on the radio for the most part while I'm there talking, and I actually have a little on-air sign that lights up, which is kind of nice, and I think just tells people, hey, I'm actually on the radio right now. But I do have a lot of people that will kind of wave or yell my name as they're just walking by. And I always try to acknowledge. So you'll see me talking and then just, you know, kind of look over, wave, smile. Somebody will take a selfie. I'm talking and smiling at the same time. So, that's been an interesting new wrinkle to everything, but a lot of fun to see everybody.
Since we're doing PSAs today, Sammy's on the air, don't ever sidle up behind him. No one wants somebody sidling up behind you.
I mean, remote on-air sign is brilliant.
Yes.
We have an old-timey, big on-air light outside our studio. So when any of our microphones are on, it turns on. It tells people, don't walk into the studio. The problem is oftentimes, like when we're interviewing like Sammy and he's talking, we'll all turn our microphones off so you can't hear us breathing.
Yes.
That turns the light off. And then all of a sudden, sales guy or someone walks in the middle of our interview going, we're in a segment right now. Just because the light's not on doesn't mean you can just walk into our studio.
Yeah, and let me also be clear. The on-air sign being lit up, and it's pretty small, it does not deter anyone from...
Please, you guys,
it encourages some, I think, actually.
Which, by the way, I want to be clear. If you're in the Western Metal Building, you want to come say hi, please come say hello. Just understand that there are times where I physically cannot talk to you, or I might have my headset on trying to listen to whatever we're playing so I know when we're coming back. So... you guys know it's very much a one-man operation, one-man show up there. So please come say hello. If I look like I'm busy or like I'm about to start talking or whatever, please, I just beg people, don't be offended because there are times where it's tough.
Joined by our pal Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods this morning. Love wrapping up or recapping, I guess, you know, when you take two out of three from the Dodgers, always feels good. I mean, they're a good team. They got good players.
Yeah.
You know, the big, high, massive payroll and Shohei being out yesterday certainly helps, you know, But it's not like we didn't run a different lineup, different looking lineup out there on Saturday, too. You know, that lineup, too, I saw a lot of consternation about it. I understand Mike Schilt stacking it with righties, though I did see lefties have actually hit James Paxton a little bit better. I think one thing we need to understand is guys like Jake Cronenworth, they're going to need a day off from time to time. He's played a ton of games this year, been out on the field a lot. You are going to have to get some of those guys off their feet from time to time, Sammy. And I thought that was a good day to do it. You know, the right-handed hitters, they need to hit James Paxton better.
Right.
James Paxton's gotten really, really lucky this season. But, you know, I thought he pitched a great game and we just couldn't get anything going off him.
Yeah, I think you make a good point because I saw some of the discussion about the lineup on Saturday as well. And I think, number one, there's a reality that guys take days off. And number two, I think in the cases of two of the guys that sat on Saturday in Camposano and Merrill, look, they've got two catchers on the roster and Luis is not going to catch every game, and especially day game after a night game or night game before a day game, whatever it is. It's a tough situation in that sense in the catching spot because Luis is so important to the offense and he's been really good once again this year. And obviously he had just an enormous impact on the game Friday night. Quite frankly, I thought that was one of the coolest aspects of Friday night.
No
hearing
doubt.
What Luis Arraez said to me, he called him the MVP of the game, Campy, in our post game interview. And then Michael King said he thought the Campy should be doing the interview, out there because he felt it, felt like it was the Campy game. So, just a side note there on Camposano with how much he impacted Friday night. And then obviously in the case of Merrill, I think the Padres have to be, I don't know if cautious is the right word, but they do need to make sure they're giving him some rest here and there just because, you know, he's playing every day in the minor leagues. Remember, every 7 days you get an off day. You get an off day between every series. So, you know, this is something that for a 20 to 21-year-old making his first, you know, round in the major leagues, and obviously he's done some great things, I totally understand giving him a day when it makes sense, when he's going to face a tough lefty. And quite frankly, I mean, they looked like geniuses yesterday, right, with Merrill having three hits and you know, getting right back to it. So I think there's a little, you know, reality to that with Camposano and Merrill in particular. And I don't blame the Padres for looking for opportunities to get those guys off their feet, although obviously Merrill and Camposano are important to this lineup and for the most part give you a really quality at bat. So a bit of a trade-off, no doubt.
They do. And something that Tony Gwynn Jr. said on the roundtable, Ben, in reaction to a question you asked him last week, you know, you do see a lot of people tweeting out, oh, it's a punt lineup, a punt lineup. Look, your ideal lineup for the San Diego Padres does not have Sugar, Sugar, Higgy, and who am I missing? Tyler Wade, maybe? Something like that. It doesn't. It's not your ideal lineup, right? And it seems like those are the days that maybe need to be moved around where Manny could actually play third. And if Campy is swinging a hot bat, because they did put in Campy to pinch hit down 5-0. That actually drove me nuts. I thought, you're going to give him the day off. Just give him the day off. Don't make him gear up to go out and catch the ninth. He can't hit a 5-run homer here. Like, that one actually didn't make the most sense to me. But, you know, look, guys are going to get days off from time to time.
Yeah.
It's weird sometimes, though, that it seems like, oh, this is when we have all of our bench guys in at once, which is a little bit odd.
Well, and I thought it was interesting yesterday, because the moment Azokar came in for defense, and it was still only a 4-0 game at that time, I immediately thought of you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, here comes Azokar. Mike Schilt's not listening to the morning
guys. He doesn't care.
Close game here. Profar could come up again. But look.
By the way, should he. He should not listen to us. Do not listen to anything we say, Mike.
Tyler also mentions, just quickly, Donovan Solano.
Yeah.
As I don't consider him necessarily the B squad lineup.
No, so I don't either. Solano's good.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Solano so far, Sammy, I don't know a ton about him other than he's pretty much been as advertised. He puts together good at-bats, hits the ball on a line. I've liked what I've seen from Donovan Solano so far.
Yeah, he's been very good. I mean, I think he's given them so far in a small sample size exactly what you would have expected, right? Somebody whose numbers have shown that he can put together quality at-bats, and he certainly had a couple of big hits in Chicago during one of these games. But I think the thing that stands out about this lineup and roster as a whole, you know, there are a couple of different variations of the lineup you can have depending on whether Manny's playing third, whether a guy's getting a day off, and so forth. But when you look at this lineup, when it's at its full strength, from Arise to Tatis to Cronenworth to Manny to Profar to Bogarts, if yesterday was a sign of him starting to get going, you certainly hope so. Merrill, Campusano, what he's doing, then Kim, then Solano when he plays. All of a sudden, when you pair that with the quality of pitching that they showed this turn through the rotation, I can't lie, you start to dream a little bit, right, about what this team could be and the idea that they could really start to get rolling here. And look, despite not everything being perfect for them over the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks, they enter this series still winning 8 of their last 11 games. The pitching's been great. They're finding different ways to win. And for all those reasons, and when you consider the depth of their lineup with Solano, some of the bench options they have now with Solano, you start to dream a little bit about this team really, really getting on a run.
I think if you want to grab something from this weekend to hold on to, I mentioned Xander Bogaerts earlier, hopefully finding something yesterday, but I mean, Dylan Cease has already pitched like an ace. Yu Darvish has done it for a long time. And yeah, he's locked in right now, but I don't worry too much about Yu Darvish. If Michael King can hold on to whatever he found on Friday, that really lengthens the Padres' starting rotation. Then you got Cease and Darvish, and, you know, hopefully Musgrove's back. And if King can be as nasty as he was, Sammy, I mean, the stat that everyone talking about, the four starts with two hits or less for the first time since 1893, there is the potential there, as you said, for not just an above average starting rotation, but for something that could be really special, you know, down the stretch.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think at this point, you know what you're getting from Cease. Darvish has been awesome, and that is a huge, huge development for this team. And then you mentioned it with Michael King. I mean, he was so good on Friday night, especially against that lineup. And when he did get into some trouble, he was able to wiggle his way out of it. I actually had a really good in-depth conversation with him about his start and more yesterday for the pregame show, and it's up on my podcast feed, and we'll tweet out some clips of it today because I thought he was great during it, talking about the outing. But I'm totally with you, Ben. I think, you know, for as good as this offense could be, if, you know, with the addition of Arise, if Manny can get it going, if Xander can get it going, there's no doubt that if guys are going to start to pitch like they pitched through this turn, and Cease has been there, but more specifically Darvish and King, and look, I thought Waldron was fine on Saturday. I thought that was exactly what you could have hoped for to keep you in a game. And obviously there was one bad pitch by De Los Santos on a 1-2 pitch to Hernandez. If, you know, if he gets Hernandez there, it might end up being a different game and a different result. Who knows? And then, you know, when Joe comes back, if you can add him into that mix and he starts to get it rolling, You certainly know he's capable of it, and you hope he has some sort of similar result to what Darvish has done here since coming off the IL. That, to me, is as big of a development as any for this team, because when you get that quality of starting pitching, you have an opportunity to win a lot of games. And look, even in this last week, I think what they've done is it really top to bottom with the pitching has been impressive. I mean, they played 6 games against the Cubs and the Dodgers. Obviously the Dodgers are a good team. The Cubs are going to be in the postseason mix, you know, when all is said and done. The 2.04 ERA over the course of 6 games, and that's with some of the shakiness in the bullpen, which is a concern. That path to Robert Suarez, I think, is one of the main concerns right now for this team. But no doubt, Ben, to your point, having King perform to that level and show that kind of dominance, that's why he was the centerpiece of that trade, right? I mean, that's why everybody said he had the potential to do things like he did on Friday night. The starting pitching to me is a massive development if they can keep it rolling.
Sammy, we'll hear you again tonight. A normal 6:40 start, 5:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show from the loft at the Western Metal Supply Company building. Please respect the on-air light. If Sammy's there, he turns it on. Wait until he turns it off, and then get your selfies, get your hellos with Sammy when he's on his short little breaks during the show.
Or just yell at me like some of the Dodger fans up there, you know, during the course of the week. And you can do whatever you want. But thank you. And by the way, don't sleep on the Rockies. They've won 4 in a row. They just swept the Rangers.
Yeah,
so
trust us.
Don't look past the Rocks.
No, you can't do it. Can't look past anybody. Thank you, Sammy.
All right, bye, guys.
I don't know even who are they facing after the Rockies. I'm not looking past the Rockies.
I'm looking tonight. Idea. Let's beat Dakota Hudson.
First, you can't sweep unless you win the first game of the series.
So I said on the air Friday that you were going to the game. Yeah, I told people to give you hugs if they saw you. Did you get any hugs?
I didn't get any hugs. I got had someone in our section that was wearing a Do the Show Bitch shirt, which was really cool.
That's always cool.
I had someone as I was walking out.
Do the Show Bitch?
You are good for the city of San Diego.
Yes,
which I
love
thought that was nice.
It's very nice.
My wife laughed at me later. Like,
yeah.
Really, you're good for the city of San Diego.
I think you are. I think you're good for the city of San Diego. I agree. Guy, last game, I was with both my kids. Guy, what's up, Ben?
Got a selfie on the way. A couple selfies on the way out as we walk down.
I love when I get hit with the Ben. Bo laughed so hard. Did he just call you Ben? Yeah, he did. Just shut up. Great.
All right, Paulie's got some headlines. The Rindle Report, final hour of Ben and Woods on the way next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.